As industrialized nations go, is 8 enough?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The leaders of 8 of the world's wealthiest nations are gathering in France to talk about the big issues facing the planet. President Obama just landed there this morning. The BBC's Matt Cole is with us now from the conference, the G8 conference in Deauville. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
Now, this is going to be a pretty packed 2 days. What are expected to be the highlights there?
Absolutely. There's an awful lot on the agenda. Issues to do with emerging democracies in North Africa, the ongoing conflict in Libya to discuss. There'll also be discussions, obviously, about nuclear safety in the world following the nuclear disaster after the tsunami in Japan. And they'll also be looking at the internet, too, and questions about whether it's time, perhaps, to regulate it. So a lot of discussions to be had and very little time to do it, really.
You know, I'm curious as to whether the G8 is even really relevant anymore in the era of emerging markets.
Well, indeed. I mean, economically speaking, the G8, which started out in the mid-70s of the G6, was set up to talk about economic issues. But really, the G20, that much larger body, including the new countries like Brazil and India with their growing markets, that's really taken over the G20, the economic aspect. Anything that the G8 decides, any of the grand statements and pledges that come out at the end of it, they are just that. There's no enforcement of them. So they might pledge lots of money to give to the emerging democracies in North Africa, but there's no guarantee they'll ever do it.
All right, the BBC's Matt Cole in Deauville. Matt, thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Tomorrow, we're going to get a final reading on how consumers are feeling here in the U.S. So far, gas prices haven't worried consumers too much. Of course, consumer confidence is a big indicator, an economic indicator all over the world. In Egypt, there's new data that political upheaval can actually boost consumer confidence. Marketplace's David Brancaccio is in the Middle East, and as part of this morning's Economic 4.0 series, he's looking at the way the economy can better serve more people. Good morning, David.
Morning to you, Steve.
So political uncertainty, I would imagine, would make consumers more cautious, right?
Nielsen market researchers have found just the opposite in the case of Egypt. This spring, consumer confidence posted its biggest leap of any country in the world in Egypt. Researchers say it is the promise of new freedoms, political, social, and, yes, commercial. If the Egyptian revolution was about forcing the country to serve more people rather than an entrenched elite, you can see how that might give people the confidence to spend more.
Now, you were in Egypt talking to folks about the economic future there. What were they telling you?
What I found was guarded optimism, emphasis on the guarded. People acknowledge the revolution wasn't a single event, but an ongoing process, and many have questions about just how far military leaders are willing to go. Now, there's no question that economic output in Egypt is taking a major hit this year. Although President Obama pledged money and loan forgiveness, Saudi Arabia is giving more, the World Bank is putting a ton in, and the government of Qatar is talking $10 billion of investments in Egypt.
Now, did that consumer confidence survey, David, look at other Middle East countries?
Well, they didn't get data in some key areas. Libya, for obvious reasons. Also, Tunisia and Syria were not in what was an online survey. Now, I'm talking to you from Dubai, and the Nielsen Company did find confidence March through April of this year spiking upward strikingly in this country, the United Arab Emirates. It's, I think, about the sense that the global financial crisis has receded and also driven by the fact that high oil prices are a good thing if you are, like the UAE, a seller of oil. And an example of consumer confidence that I spotted just the other day, an ATM-like machine here that dispenses, not cash, but wait for it, Steve, gold bars for about $1,600 an ounce. A bit high, I would say.
Yeah. All right. Marketplace's David Brancaccio in Dubai. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly higher. Good news and bad news for Sony. The electronics giant says it's going to make a profit in the next year, yeah, but it lost more than $3 billion this past year. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 38 points to close at 12,394.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success, on the web at farmers.com.
As it prepares to go public, discount carrier Spirit Airlines says investors are less excited about its initial public offering than it had hoped. The company wants to expand its no-frills flights that charge a lot less but tack on a lot of fees. In Australia, a budget airline has plans to charge passengers anytime they talk to a person. From Sydney, reporter Stuart Cohen explains.
Jetstar is the low-cost arm of Australia's national airline Qantas. Under Jetstar's new rules, passengers will get a text message 24 hours before the flight time. They'll then go to the airport, weigh, tag, and drop their own luggage, and proceed through security, all without any interaction with Jetstar staff. A limited number of agents will be available for people who need assistance, but asking for help will cost an extra $10. Passengers' groups aren't happy, especially groups representing disabled and older flyers, who they say often need help to navigate the check-in process, but will have to pay that fee regardless. Jason Westbury is head of the Australian Federation of Travel Agents.
When it doesn't work and when the technology does fail, let's face it, all technology fails from time to time, you want to know that there's someone around.
While most American carriers rolled out self-service kiosks years ago and many allow passengers to download a scannable boarding pass to a smartphone, there's no indication any of them are planning to fall into line behind Jetstar and eliminate the last of the human touches, at least not yet. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
And finally, a brouhaha between Texas lawmakers and the Transportation Security Administration could have gotten pretty big and ugly. The Texas House of Representatives passed a bill that would have made intense airport pat-downs a misdemeanor crime, punishable by fines and even jail, perhaps. The TSA got wind of the measure and sent a letter to Texas. It said, if you pass the bill, we're going to have to cancel all flights in and out of your state. The Senate sponsor withdrew the measure. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org and on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
After the financial crisis came a lot of insights, including this one. When the government backs private enterprise, oh boy, a lot can go wrong.
They benefited themselves all the while wrapping themselves in the American flag and saying that they were really benefiting borrowers.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Reckless endangerment in the rearview mirror. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.